Exactly. And these parents are just desperately holding on to God, desperately thanking Jesus that in it all, that he's there. And then I return to work on Friday. And, you know, that's, you know, there's a bit of excitement, a bit of sadness in that. And I'm there when, well, I wasn't there when the news came through, but one of my work colleagues, his son was on that plane that got shot down. And his life just completely changed. His youngest son, the only son who was still living at home. You know, he holds on to the great and amazing knowledge that he believed in Jesus, and now he's where we all are headed. But just life is just, you can't think that tomorrow or the next week you're going to be sitting in the same seat that you're in right now. Life is so precious. And so this morning, I'm going to promise to try to finish on time. I'm going to promise to try and not yell. I'm going to promise to try and not spit on everyone. But you know what? I really don't care. I'm sorry. If I go over, it's obviously I believe God is wanting us to keep pressing in. And I promise to try. I've even got the time on the back. Look at that. Turn around. I am trying to be accountable. But there'll be a day when I stand before God and have to give an account. And he's going to ask me, were you more concerned about the time on the back screen or what I wanted to say? And I have to be accountable to him. So I promise to try, but let's see how we go. I'm going to read this morning in the book of John. Oh, look at that. John. I'm going to spend nearly all of our time in John, and I put some verses on the screen so we can read together. But in John, and let me read this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have not told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you have had really known me, you would know my Father. You would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And he's obviously saying, because you've seen me, you see God. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, Father, I pray in this place, at Bay City Church this morning, people come to this place because it is a place of refuge, a place where your Holy Spirit is in control and has authority over everything that happens. Father, as they enter into this place through those doors, all the oppression, the temptation, and the troubles that they face in life are left because this is a place of refuge where the Holy Spirit has all authority. I thank you, Father, right now we give you our minds and our hearts so you can speak to us individually and personally. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are at threat of death for their life today, tonight, because they believe in you. And I thank you, Jesus, that your gospel would continue to spread right around the world through brave people that stand up for their faith. And I thank you, Jesus, this morning, right across not just Sydney, particularly the St. George area, for all the places of worship where your gospel is shared, no matter what denomination, no matter what style, no matter what time they start. Father, that your message is being shared and people's lives are encountering you this morning. And we thank you, Jesus. We can pray these things boldly and confidently because you, Lord Jesus, have made a way for us to the Father. In your name, amen. Hey, so I've been married in March this year, so previously March, for 14 years. 14. Yeah, when you know what my wife puts up with, that is worth a lot of cheer. But I know there's a lot of people married longer and some of you less. But can I say something? After 14 years, the last six have been ridiculously hard. Hardest 6 years, and I want to tell you why. See, for the last 6 years, there's been something called a smartphone. Who has a smartphone? All right. And on that smartphone, there is an app that you can get called Maps. Who has Maps? Now, let me tell you about Maps, right? Sounds all nice. But what happens is you put in where you want to go, and it shows you. Sounds right. Not only does it show you, it shows you where you are, and it shows you on a blue line the way you need to get to where you're going, right? And then it also gives you directions on how to get there. Sounds nice, right? It's evil. It's wrecking my marriage. See, before Maps, right, I would jump in the car with my wife and she would look at me with complete trust. Hey, do you know where we're going? You know, I'm riding low. Got the hand on the wheel. You know it, right? It's 14 years, you know. I've got the goods, right? Anyway, the point is, we'd be driving. I have no idea where we're going. No idea. We're driving. She says, are you sure you know where you're going? Like, babe, I got this. It's all cool. We go around the same thing 5 times. Are you sure you know where you're going? It's okay. I know exactly where we're going. I just couldn't turn off before, and now we've had to come around. And then it would be fine. She could get out the street directory. And she'd be like, I'm going to check. Do it. All right? She'd get out the street directory, and she'd be like, is it? Are we? And then, well, which way? I don't even know how to read this. I said, look, I'll show you. I'll help you out. I'll take a quick look. So, okay, this is how we go. And give it back to her, and it would be fine. And then eventually, 3 hours later, we would arrive at our destination, and she would be like, oh, you're my hero. I could never have got there without you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And so our marriage was on a good place because I was the hero and I saved the day, but now Maps. Pain in my side. See, what happens is now we're driving and she says, hey, you're off the blue line. Get back on it. Like, no, I've got this. I know where I'm going. No, you don't. I've got the directions. I know exactly where to go. Get back on the blue line. I want to get there today, not tomorrow. And when we get there, she's like, I would have gone a different way. I would have followed a different blue line. I would have gotten us there in about 20 seconds earlier than what you did because I would have followed the blue line exactly. And I've got the instructions, and this blue line, it's kind of like, it's hurting me. It really has. I have to work out how to turn her location settings off or something. So sends her another way, and I can get us there and restore the hope that I am her hero. Can you help me with that? Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to try it. But wouldn't it be nice in life if we kind of like had a blue line to follow? Jump on the blue line and follow it through life. Start following it. And it would even be better if in life we had a set of instructions. You're following the blue line. And in approximately 3 hours, you're going to encounter a person. Now, this person is going to invite you to a party. You need to say no to the party because eventually you're going to be tempted to have drugs or do something wrong. Great. 3 hours, going to pay attention. On the blue line, you're coming up to school on Tuesday, and at recess, they're going to be picking on a person. Stand up for that person because they're on the brink of harming themselves and potentially further damaging their life, so we need you to stand up. You're like, great, I'll do that. And we could jump on this blue line and navigate through life, and it gives us a set of instructions on how to do it. Who thinks that would be helpful? Some of you. Well, for those that think it would be helpful having a blue line, I found a blue line. I found a blue line for us to follow in life. And guess what it is? It's Jesus. We just read a scripture. I don't know why that went off. Click it. Sorry. We just read a scripture. And Thomas, Jesus is saying, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the place that we've prepared for you. I'm going to heaven. And that is our destination. And last week, that's what we talked about. We talked about maturing in Christ and heading towards Christ, becoming like Him, fulfilling that when we get to heaven. That's when we fulfill that. We don't fulfill it here. We fulfill it in heaven. Okay? And so our journey through life is towards Christ. And here, Jesus is saying, I'm going to that place now. And Thomas, and he says, you know the way. And Thomas goes, what do you mean, I know the way? I don't even know where you're going. How can I know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You can't get to the Father. You can't get to where you're going unless you go through me. And he's saying to us in life, through life, what you need to do is follow me. I'm the way. I'm going to unpack the statements, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because we're following Jesus, we're becoming like him towards heaven. Okay, so the first thing I want to say in there is really quickly, I didn't put a slide, but it says I am. That is a really important statement, the I am statement. That's a statement around Jesus' authority as God. He is saying, I'm God, I can answer your question. Okay, so it's really important. It's not just a thing, he's just saying, yeah, I'll show you, or I am, like as in him as a person. He's saying, as God, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the first thing, see, here is the way. See, Jesus is the way, and it says up here in 1 John 1, it says, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, the way to God is for us to be made right with God, righteous. And the only way we can be made right with God is by believing that Jesus, okay, has taken away our sin. We call it salvation, or if you have it, a rededication. It's this idea of saying, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I need your blood to cleanse me of that sin, to take it away, so I can be in right relationship with you. So Jesus is the way that we can be forgiven of our sin. But he's not just the way, he's the example of life as well. And we see that in 1 Peter 2. Okay, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. And so as we face situations in life, we can read about how Jesus dealt with them. We can see where Jesus stood up for injustice. We can see where Jesus corrected the wrongs. We can see where Jesus prayed, and when he prayed, we can see the example of how we to live our life by following Jesus, because he is the way for us. He says that he is the truth. In 2 Corinthians, it says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen ascends to God for his glory. All of the promises, all of the covenant, all of the things that God has spoken is fulfilled through Jesus. Jesus is the truth of the word. And that's what John 1 says. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. He, Jesus, existed in the beginning with God. Jesus, the word, the gospel, the truth. Jesus is the truth. And God fulfills all of his promises and his truths and his covenants through Jesus. Because Jesus is the truth. So when we read about Jesus, we know he is the way. We start to pay attention to the way. We start to listen to the truth that he speaks and he displays. And he is the life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the greatest scripture that probably we hear too much, but I could never say enough, is John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. See, the life we're talking about is not this life that we see in the Gospels where Nicodemus says, hey, he's talking to Jesus, says, what, do you mean that I have to actually go back into my mum and be born again? Is that what you mean? He says, no, I'm talking about the Spirit. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about if you want life, eternal life, then you need to come to me. I'm the way to receive that eternal life. Because, see, the Bible says that our life here on earth is like a flicker of a candle. It's like that. It happens like that. And for the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, three stories of people's lives who have been altered forever. This kid got hit by a car and was potentially in a place where he could have died. He lost so much blood, I heard on Friday, that his hands were white. His limbs were white because there was not enough blood circulating around his body. I visited a six-year-old girl who for ages was sick and they didn't know, and now it's been 6 weeks going through this treatment. And this dad, who's excited to see his son return from an overseas trip, never get to see him again. Life is like a moment. It's just so precious, and it can come and it can go so quickly. And so what we need to be focused on is not necessarily just the journey, the blue line here, but where it takes us and the eternal life. the life without end. And so as we focus on that, we see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life into all of eternity. And so it's critically important that as we're reading the Gospel of John, we're reading through and we read John 14, and we just said that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And then he goes on in John 14 to talk about, you know, but I'm going to go to this place where there are many rooms. I'm going to prepare one for you. And the disciples would have been like, they're like confused. They're like, wait, you're going? How do I get there? And he's saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And this is how I'll help you get there. And we read further on in John, in chapter 14, about Jesus then saying, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to give you someone to help you stay on the blue line. I'm going to give you someone. It's called the Holy Spirit. So when I go to heaven, he's going to come back. He's going to help you stay on the blue line. And he starts talking about the being in the Holy Spirit and the promise of the Holy Spirit. One second. And he starts talking about how you're going to follow me, you're going to follow my teachings, you're going to follow my example, and I'm going to give you eternal life. And to help you stay along that journey, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to take you. And so he's building up. He's building up to say, okay, you're maturing in me. We're building up as 2 weeks of sermons. He's like, we're maturing in Christ. We're becoming like him. We're focused on eternity. Our goal is there. We're following Jesus now. We're listening to his teachings. We've got eternal life because of him. We're following him. Now we're receiving the Holy Spirit, which is to keep us on the blue line, keep us focused on eternity. And then you know what happens in the scripture? We get to John 15 and he says, stop everything. He's building up where he's about to tell us how to stay on the blue line and how to get into heaven with the help of the Holy Spirit. And he goes, stop everything. Wait a minute. I've got to make sure you understand something. Because if you don't understand this one thing in John 15, then you don't get anything else. I'm talking to you, but I don't need to talk to you, because if you don't understand John 15, then you're not going to understand what I just said and what I'm about to say. And in John 15, right? I'm going to give you a snippet, just a snippet of what he's talking about. And it's something that I've spoken about for a while now. And it's the theme of being in Christ. Being in him. And we've spoken for a few weeks about the importance of being in Christ. We've talked about the lifestyle that belongs to someone in Christ and a lifestyle of someone that's not in Christ. We've talked about the reason why we need to be in Christ, and we've talked about, and we looked at Colossians through that about being in Christ. We talked about how Paul over 200 times says you need to be in Christ, and he says 3 times you're a Christian. And Jesus, in Jesus here, he's talking about following him. He's talking about having the Holy Spirit, and then he says, stop. I just need you to remember something and be reminded of something. And in John 15, he says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And if we're to read the whole start of John 15, he says it like 5 times. He says, remain in me and also I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit unless it is bear fruit by itself. In verse 5, it says, if you remain in me and I in you. Okay. Then it goes right down. Further in verse 7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. And then it goes on, it says, and this, if you remain in me and produce the fruit, is all to my Father's glory. So you remember we talked about last week, we talked about maturing and growing up so that we can give glory to God and prove that we are in him. We talked about that. We talked about how as we mature, we start to live by a different set of standards. And so here's Jesus saying, you've got to follow me if you want to get to where I am, if you want to be like me, if you want to get to eternity. What you need to do is you need to follow me. You need to listen to my words. You need to get your life from me. He's saying all this and he says, I'm going to help you do that by giving you the Holy Spirit. And then we go into chapter 16 and we'll get there in a minute. But before he gets there, he goes, stop everything. I don't know if you're ready. I don't want to tell you about the amazing way to get into heaven with the Holy Spirit if you don't understand, you don't even have the Holy Spirit unless you're in me. You need to be in me. And this is how we can tell that people are in him, is they start to mature and they start to grow and they start to produce fruit. See, they start to live by a different set of standards. They start to have love where people have anger. They start to have joy even in the midst of their six-year-old daughter who's got leukemia and it's crazy. They start to mature and live a different lifestyle so people go, hey, what's going on with you? You used to be one way and now you're different. And we say, hey, it's not me, it's Christ in me. And so he says, stop everything, John 15. You need to be in me. And if you're in me and I'm in you, you will produce fruit. And you will prove that you're in me and give glory to God. And so again, really quickly, to be in Christ, what it is to say that, you know what? I need you, Jesus, to take away my sins. And I cannot stand here in right relationship with God in my own works. I can only do it in the work of Jesus on the cross, who died for my sins, shed his blood, and raised again to give me eternal life. When we accept that, when we come down the front and pray that prayer of salvation, or when we commit to that salvation, whether it's in a small group, whether it's in a coffee, wherever it is, that is us being in Christ. And from that moment on, we start to grow. And again, I told you, you cannot sit in the church and still be the same as you were on the first day you came to church. If there's no evidence of growth, then are you in Christ? If you're still struggling with the same immature thoughts that you did on the first day you came in, then all you need to do is say, hey, am I really in Christ? Am I really growing? And we challenged each other last week to say, it's not just on the first day, but it's on every single day. Because we stop growing in Christ and being like Christ until we are in heaven. So I don't mind if you're in the front seat or the back row. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're a pastor or not. I don't care if you're here for the first time, although welcome, or if you're here, you've been here since day one, right? It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from or what you've done. All of us have to ask ourselves the same question. Are we growing in Christ? Am I better today as I was yesterday? Because if I am, I'm growing in Christ. And so this is the journey we're going on, and we're producing fruit, and we're living this great lifestyle, and it's all headed towards John 16. You guys ready for this? I'm not. And we get to John 16. He's saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to stay on the journey so you can get there. And then he goes, stop everything. Are you in Christ? Because if you're in Christ, you'll understand this. We go to John 16. Okay. John 16. Now, this is, again, this is just a moment of John 16. To really get a great understanding, you need to read from the start through, but I need to highlight something for you, okay? And before I do that, and I probably won't say this later, and what's amazing is if you continue to read from the start to the end of John 16, it starts and finishes with so much, it starts and then it finishes with so much joy. But you have to continue to read through John 16, but I want to focus on this just for a moment. Jesus says, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, and then he will tell us what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in our life to help us get to heaven. That's the point. The point is to get us to heaven. And so he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and this is what it will do. And when he comes, he being the Holy Spirit, the advocate, comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. So this morning, okay, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not in him. The Holy Spirit right now is talking to you about believing in him. He's saying that to you. He's saying, you know what? They call you a liar, and you are, because there's been no sacrifice for that sin. You might be living in a bad relationship, and it's called adultery. Then you know what? You are, because there's been no sacrifice for that sin. And you are exactly what the conviction and the thing on our heart is saying that we are, because we have not had this Jesus' blood covering over us. And so the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to believe. You need to believe. You need to believe in Jesus if you want eternal life. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus, and you'll sit there. And the pastor sometimes will say, who wants to give their life to Jesus? And your heart will be racing, and you know you need to make that decision. That's the Holy Spirit saying to you, believe in Him. Believe in Him. Believe in Him. You need to believe in Him. And then it says, and He will convict of God's righteousness. So for everyone else who's in Him, we're in Christ. We know we're in Christ, and we're displaying fruit of the Spirit. We're growing. Okay, can I just say something as well? Growing doesn't mean becoming smarter. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean you can sit there and you can just answer questions. Growing in Him is becoming like Him. Okay? It's having even more humility. It's having even more compassion, even more grace in your life. It doesn't mean that you've just become smarter. And can I encourage you to go on a Monday night as well? See, when we come up here, we want to talk about deeper things and get right into it. It's great when as a congregation, we've learned and we've studied things together. So we can come up here and we just go, boom, straight into it. But we have to spend time, when I have to spend time talking about things, you'll end up having me for 17 weeks, not just two, you know. And for everyone's sake, let's all grow and learn things. And so the idea is to learn and continue to grow, but not just in our mind, but with the things that we are doing and the way that we live, okay. And so as a believer, we sit here. And we know that we are in Christ. And so we say to ourselves, what now? What is it now? The Holy Spirit does the same work for you as it does for the unbeliever, except this time it's telling you to do the right thing. He's saying to you, be righteous. See, when we're faced with a decision and a situation and we're standing there, and the Holy Spirit doesn't say to us, don't do the bad thing. Okay? He says to us, do the right thing. Be like Christ. Be righteous. Make the righteous decision. Do the righteous action. Have the righteous response. And so the Holy Spirit is there and He's talking to you all the time. He's telling you, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Hey, I'm coming up to a decision that I need to make. Holy Spirit will convict you of God's righteousness. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. And so as we look at Jesus and we're heading towards Jesus and we're on our blue line, we know we're on the blue line when we do the right thing. And do the right thing. And do the right thing. And sometimes, here it is. Here it is. Sometimes the right thing isn't the easy thing. Sometimes the right thing isn't the popular thing. Sometimes the right thing for you is different for me. Because we all have to work out our salvation with this fear and trembling that we are doing the right thing. And so as we sit here, okay, I need you to understand that you can't look to the left or to the right. You can't look at anybody else. Only you know when the Spirit is speaking to you if you're doing the right thing. And so on our journey, on our path, Holy Spirit will convict you of your unbelief. Your unbelief that Jesus is enough to take away your sin. Your unbelief that He is the Lord who has been raised from the dead. He'll convict you of that. But as we live life, He will continue to convict you of righteousness. He'll continue to convict you of the right action, the right thoughts, the right deeds, the right words that belong to Christ. See, what happened when we believed and we came in Christ? Jesus took a cloak of righteousness and He put it around us, right? And so now we're wearing the cloak of righteousness. So when God sees us, He sees us as righteous. So what the Holy Spirit does is help us live righteously and make the righteous decision. And when we don't have the cloak of righteousness, we are there exposed, embarrassed of all the things we've done, all the things we've seen, all the things we've said. We're exposed for who we really are. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what? Jesus died for that. God sent His Son to take that away from you. God sent His Son so you can be cloaked in righteousness. Believe in Him. Believe in Him. Believe in Him. It'll keep pounding at you. Believe in Him. Believe in Him. And we pass it off as feelings, and sometimes it feels like a feeling. Pass it off like we haven't eaten enough and our heart is fluttering, but it's something else. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Believe in Him. Believe in Him. And for everyone else, it's do the right thing.
do the right thing. Stand up. Do the right thing. There's injustice. Do the right thing. At school, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Yeah, it's hard. It's crazy. But our example is Jesus. He's the way. He's walked the way for us. So we look at him. Let me pray for you guys. Lord God, I just thank you that we are a people that are growing in Christ. Father, it's evidence in the way that we live. And it's something that causes us to live a different way. May we be people that mature in you and start to live by the convictions of the Holy Spirit. For the unbeliever, it's to come and be in right relationship with God this morning. And for the believer, it's to do the right thing. Be righteous, live righteously. And as we keep our eyes on you, our focus on you, as we do that, and the Holy Spirit will confirm the journey that we're on. We don't need to worry about what other people are doing. We don't need to look like somebody else. We just need to do what the Holy Spirit calls us to do. And I pray that there would be even more testimonies of the greatness of our God in the lives of this congregation. That we would see testimony of people standing up for the right thing and the great results of that. And this morning, if you're in this place and you're not in Christ, you are not a Christian, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. It may not even be like a feeling. It just might be a I need to respond. And this morning, I do not want to embarrass anybody. But I need to ask you, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And are you in Him this morning? We're not called to be Christians. We're called to live in Him. And because we're in Him, we are called a Christian. And so this morning, right across this auditorium with every eye closed, in respect of the people next to us, is there anybody who this morning, for the first time, or as what people say is a rededication, where you've made a decision and now you've kind of slipped away and put your eyes on something else, you want to put your eyes back on Jesus. This morning, just where you are, I'm not going to ask you to stand up, I'm not going to ask you to come down the front. This is